If you have a movie podcast, how do you even pick the movies? What if you have six co-hosts? How do you get everyone together, pick a movie, and then find a way to talk about it? This is Podcast Creators, a show where we get podcasting advice from real podcasters. Today on the show, we have Tim Balog, host of On Second Watch, and we're going to learn about how he gets six co-hosts together on the mic to talk about a single movie. I'm your host, Greg, creator of Indie Drop-In Network and co-host of Fan Dummies. We'll put everyone's links in the description below so you can check out where to find us. This is recorded on Riverside FM, so if you like the way it looks and you like the way it sounds, we have an affiliate link in the description box below. You can click to check it out for yourself. All right, let's get to it. Hey, Tim, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
Wow, I'm so glad that you were able to come back, even though I don't like to air the dirty laundry. I think part of the experience of the show is talking about the good and the bad.
Yeah.
And the last time we talked, I had audio issues. You sounded brilliant. I had audio issues.
Yeah, you know what? Just you never know when you're recording. You always worry about those moments where you're going to have the wrong microphone or something breaks. And I fortunately only had one or two of those over the last year and a half, but you just never know. Even if you plan for all the worst mistakes to happen, it just, you know, things happen.
Yeah. And recording audio is a little bit easier than doing video and audio because you can do backup audio, which is what we do. And I have backup audio for this now also.
Nice. I don't blame you.
So we are making it happen. So enough of that. So why don't you tell everybody who you are and what your podcast is?
So so my name's Tim, and I am the host, one of six hosts actually, of the podcast On Second Watch. Mm-hmm. And we focus very heavily on movie nostalgia, things that we grew up on as kids. We like to explore that. And the way we do things a little bit differently is we talk about our nostalgia and rate the movie again before we watch it. Talk about the things that we like or remember. And then as a group, we try to watch it again, and then we come back on the microphones with it fresh in our heads and reassess our nostalgia to see if it holds up. Some movies hold up very well, some movies not so much, but it's always fun to kind of dissect the things that we notice as kids that totally missed as adults, and some things that just aren't as cool now that we're grown up. So it's we have some fun, and the six of us have been friends since childhood, so it makes it fun because we have a great camaraderie anyway. So we can, you know, we can take the jabs and the light ribbing, sometimes aggressive ribbing, and just have fun with it. So as long as others are enjoying it, then we're good to go.
So where do you record this thing? Cause you have so many hosts. Like, does everybody come to your house? You do it remotely?
We started right before the pandemic, and it was just four of us. It was myself, my wife, Dana, and my two good friends, Chris and Spaz is his name. Mm-hmm. Affectionately known as Spaz. And we used to get together at my house for the first several episodes. And we would do this thing. We'd record, stop, watch the film together, and then jump back on.
Sure.
And that's when we were first kind of getting our feet wet with podcasting in general. And the audio is terrible. We all recorded on a single microphone. I think it was a Yeti I picked up on Facebook or something like that.
Sure.
And we just sat around a card table and just talked. And that's kind of where I started learning how to edit, why I would need multiple microphones to do a good job. But once the pandemic hit, we had to figure out, do we still want to do this? And if so, how are we going to manage it? Because now we're scattered.
Yeah.
So we started recording remotely, and it started out small as we, you know, we're trying to bootstrap this whole thing.
Yeah.
We didn't have a lot of money. So we just picked up, you know, either a headset from a gaming headset we had laying around. I started picking up microphones on Amazon that were on sale that I could start distributing to everybody.
Sure.
And, you know, we started just recording off of, I think at first we did Squadcast because we do the four people in video. And then it ended up being pretty pricey for us because we're, you know, we're just starting out. This isn't a profitable podcast by any means. So sure. We're trying to find ways to just keep it cheap. And then we, Zencastr had a great, quarantine promo where we basically got a lot of their features for free. And that gave us a good chance to kind of kick the tires of that platform and see how it works for us. And that's where we've been ever since is so we're all recording on Zencastr. Mm-hmm. It's great because it records everyone's audio separately. I can mix it and cut out a lot of the nonsense and background noises that come out of things. And it's been working out for us pretty good.
That's amazing. So you ended up buying that mic that you're using there, I'm guessing, right?
I did. Yeah, this was a treat to myself. When I go in on these ventures, I really like to go all in. Mm-hmm. So I ended up selling some of my Star Wars collectibles to purchase this Shure MV7, which has been fantastic for me. I love it. It's my favorite thing I've purchased so far.
Yeah.
And to me, it's worth it because my audio sounds much better coming through this microphone than the tin can I was using before.
Yeah, it's an interesting phenomenon. And I don't know if this is what you want to hear, but when I listen to your show, it clearly sounds like you're the host. You sound the best. Yeah. You're the most put together. You know, I'm sure your wife and your friends or everybody is organized and ready to rock and roll, but it seems like you're the maestro.
That's the way it was. I'm just the one that came up with the idea to do the podcast. Mm-hmm. And I let everybody know that if we do this, I'm happy. I want you to join and have fun because, you know, like Chris to me is he's the comedian of our group. He's the quick witted, funny guy. Spaz is everybody needs a spaz, you know? So I said, you know, if we're going to do this, I have no problem running the show, doing the editing and the social media and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So, they're all in as long as they don't have to do a lot of work. And so, yes, I am the maestro. So I spend a lot of time making sure since I'm doing a majority of the talking that, I better make sure my audio sounds all right.
Yeah. So speaking of the show, how long has it been going on?
So we started, right before Christmas of 2019.
Okay.
That we recorded our first episode covering Home Alone and, it was such a disaster. I never aired it until I got a lot of pressure from our listeners to release this dreaded audio.
It's like the movie.
Right.
It's just the movie's chaos. It's great, but it's chaos.
It's pure chaos. There's more bodily noises than you'd probably hear in, a Three Stooges episode. Ooh. A lot of nonsense. So
yeah.
I can that one, but we started right before Christmas and then the pandemic hit and we had to shift gears a bit. So having to do things remotely kind of changed our approach to how we format our show in the long run. So it's good to evolve and it's paid off.
Yeah. I listened to quite a few episodes in preparation for this interview and the show just gets better. I went back, I like to listen to some of the early ones to see kind of what happens. And I noticed that you're pretty consistent with the format. Like you have a couple of different types of shows that you do, but you do kind of the same type of shows, over and over. Cause it's kind of your fingerprint.
It is. Yeah. And to me, consistency is important because, you become more familiar, it becomes more, I guess if you're more comfortable doing it, then you sound more comfortable and you sound like it's just a regular conversation.
Yeah.
If I'm constantly going back to my notes and trying to follow a outline, it sounds kind of staggered. And so we try to get that flow down. Mm-hmm. And the important thing is, after we do an episode or a format, we talk about what's worked, what hasn't worked.
Sure. And
then we shift gears if we need to. And for the most part, the format's generally the same, but we've, introduced new segments or new opportunities along the way just to try it out and see what works. And it's a constantly evolving process, which is great.
So let's set some context for the listener so they can maybe align with you on how big your show is. Like what's the amount of downloads your show gets per episode? Like your latest one.
Yeah. So I think out the gate, the first 24 hours, I think on average, we hit about 25 to 35 downloads depending on the movie. So we're relatively small.
Sure.
I think over the course of 7 days, we hit closer to about 100, 150, depending. Some of that comes from, word of mouth or, we have guests on the show, so they share it with their friends. And so there's a couple of things that pick up and then people explore the earlier episodes along the way.
Sure.
But we hover around that 100 seems to like a pretty good baseline for our episodes for their life. I think our most listened to episode is our Jaws episode, which I think was our second or third episode. And that has, you know, over 350, I think, right now.
Yeah.
So our show, we're sitting at just under 6,000 downloads. So like I said, we're pretty small, but you know, the community that we're a part of is, it keeps it fun. So even if we have just a couple people that are listening, as long as they're engaged, it keeps us going.
You know, the funny thing about your format is that the back catalog is so important. And as time goes on, that's, I think, where you're going to see a lot of momentum, because you're not covering brand new movies in most cases. This is the second watch, right? On second watch. Mm-hmm. So you don't have the luxury of riding the Google trend, right? So, you know, you have to actually find a listener and keep them, which is really hard.
Yeah, it can be. And so we try to ride the Google trend as much as we can. So if there's a sequel coming out, we'll hit the prequel, or we'll hit like the new Ghostbusters movies coming out, where you have a plan to hit Ghostbusters 1 and 2 closer to that release. So we're trying to find ways of tying it in there.
That's smart.
Actually, you know, our very first episode that was actually released to the public was Bad Boys, which is strange because I didn't care to watch the movie, but Bad Boys 4, the new one, was coming out. We're like, all right, let's just start with this just to see how it goes.
And, sure.
So that, you know, we're trying to find our ways to sneak in there, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, we knew that going into this format, that if we're covering nostalgia, it's not going to be the flavor of the month discussion or the flavor of the week.
Even. Right.
We might not have that luxury. And plus, if we're doing nostalgia, people might, you know, they'll see a title and just skip it because I don't know this movie, or I didn't like this movie.
Yeah.
So we try to find ways of saying, hey, even though you might not have seen this film, here's like a snip of, you know, some funny content just to see if it might draw them in. So we're trying to find ways to, you know, take advantage of the opportunity, but it's a challenge.
Yeah.
We know that.
Have you ever used any techniques to try to curate listeners, like doing, I mean, I'm not an expert in this, you're the expert, but like 90s movie Monday or something, like the first week of the month is 90s movies only or something like that?
We've experimented a couple times. Some of the things that we've done is more with fellow indie podcasters. We actually did a RSS feed share.
Okay.
So something we did like a Secret Santa where everybody recorded an episode and shared it on a different RSS feed, one of our friends. So our episode actually aired on our friend, the Movie Sellers podcast, during Christmas. And then somebody aired on our channel. So it's a way of kind of introducing people to other podcasts, but kind of, you know, just a chance to just approach a new audience. So that was one thing we did. We've also, you know, tried to, you know, do themes. So around Halloween, obviously we do horror. Christmas time, there's a lot of Christmas movies to choose from. So we try to, you know, try to find a theme that kind of fits the time.
Yeah.
Like we were just talking, hey, back to school is going on right now. Maybe we should hit something like Billy Madison or Back to School even, and you know, just some just experimenting with some ideas there. But it's difficult with six hosts to try to coordinate and get everybody on the same schedule.
Yeah.
Everyone has different demands in their life. So it can be a challenge, and there'll be a movie that I think we can do, but somebody's out and I'd really like to get their take on it. Like Nikki's a huge like SNL fan. So anytime we do a movie that has an SNL predominant character or actor, I want to make sure she's in part of that conversation because she's so excited and enthusiastic. And so we're trying to pick and choose and try to coordinate all that.
So let's get into that a little bit, because I want to get some learnings on how any other podcaster can wrangle co-hosts into making the vision that's in your head. Cause I know the vision's in your head. We've talked enough that you've got the master plan. What do you do to keep everyone on track?
It started out just doing a lot of texting and trying to, you know, after we're done recording, say, hey, which weekend are you guys free? And try to do it that way. We have evolved into using Discord actually. Ooh. And we use that to talk. So it's easier to send, you know, funny gifts and just communicate and just socially chat that way. I've also opened it up to have listeners and fans and friends join our Discord channel on our on our some of our public channels to actually engage with us and talk. So that kind of keeps it fun too. But for managing the hosts, we're using Discord to talk about kind of upcoming ideas or scheduling. And I've tried to manage it that way. And it's definitely a challenge because, you know, obviously you can tell me I'm 100% in. I'd record every day if I could.
Yeah.
And then, but everybody has their own, you know, willingness to jump in. Like, Chris, maybe one or two a month is good for him. He doesn't, you know, this is kind of a fun thing. If it becomes anything more than fun, he gets a little wigged out for it. So he just needs a break. And sometimes he needs a break from us, which is understandable. My wife, Dana, she's a trooper. She handles everything that I throw at her and it's like, all right, fine. I'll do this. If you want to do it.
That's how my wife is. She's game for whatever.
Yeah. And, I mean, she doesn't really like a lot of these movies that we cover or nor has she ever seen them. Mm-hmm. So she's along for the ride and still having fun, but still I got to toe that line. It's like, we got, you know, the podcast, but we also have our life, our family and things to take care of too.
Right.
And everybody does. So, for me, I had to basically, you know, plot out everybody's engagement level. What are they willing to do and how often, and try to pick and choose those dates without trying to be too aggressive and say, hey, let's do it every week. That's not going to work. So we try to plan enough ahead that we kind of look out 1 month in advance to pick those dates that are good. Typically it lands on like a Saturday night or something like that.
Yeah.
But as much forward planning as you can do, the better. And just have those open and honest conversations with your co-host and just to see how willing they are to jump in, because, you know, just like work or on a podcast, just sometimes they might not be willing to just be upfront and honest about, hey, this is too much. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to take a break. And part of the reason why we have six people is that if somebody does want to take a break, we still have enough to have a good roundtable discussion about things. So we can continue to record and still have a fun, entertaining show.
Sure.
But, you know, you definitely need to know what your host's, you know, level of engagement is going to be. Because if, like, for example, if I told Chris, hey, we're going to record every day next month, he'd say, yeah, I think I'm done. So, wow. So you definitely need to understand everybody and have those conversations. If as long as you have those open, honest conversations early and often, then you'll be able to plan accordingly and make sure you're, you know, plan for success.
Do you think it's normal for one host to be more committed than another host in a podcast?
I've seen different things. I feel like there's some shows that are born of an idea amongst friends. Sometimes it lands on one person as kind of the leader and kind of takes on more of the work. I've seen some shows that come together like online, say, hey, I am looking to do this type of show. I need a co-host, and some other podcasters like, yeah, this sounds great. And I think the ones that I've seen, they've worked as long as there's those clear, honest conversations early on.
Sure.
But most of the people I talk to on social media, you know, the other indie podcasters, the ones I'm talking to are kind of the ringleaders of the whole thing. They're running the social media. They're doing the editing and the planning and the, you know, uploading and all sorts of stuff like that. So it seems to be amongst at least the indie podcasters, there's one person that's the go-to for a lot of the work, and the others, you know, there's, you know, some might divvy out the social media, but others seem to be more along for the ride and, you know, and having fun. Yeah. So there always seems to be a ringleader for sure.
Is On Second Watch a part of any sort of networks or anything to help there?
We tried before. There was one that was starting out and we were a part of it. And, you know, because it was early on, I probably didn't see much benefit from it, but
sure.
It just seemed like it was just another platform just to retweet our episodes. And it didn't really, there wasn't any engagement. It just seemed like anything that they were sharing or distributing was all just, hey, this person has a new episode out. So it really didn't have a lot of value for us. So,
yeah.
I dropped out of that once they started getting a little bit too demanding of our kind of our information, I guess. Mm-hmm. They were trying to get a little bit more details than I was willing to share. We're right now just kind of running solo as we try to kind of feel out what's a good mix for us right now.
the show, the content is 100% what your listeners are here for, right? Yeah. They don't care what network you're attached to. They don't care who's doing the editing, any of that stuff.
Right.
I mean, is there a thing in a network that you need? Like, is there some thing you're looking for? I guess that's the question.
You know, I think what I personally was looking for or would hope for in a network is just to collaborate. I don't need someone just to retweet stuff I'm sharing or mm-hmm. reshare what I'm already doing. But an opportunity is like, hey, it's like, let's do some collaborative, you know, you can guest on their show, they'll come on yours and help just kind of sure. collaborate that. So, I mean, I'm doing a lot of that on my own, just kind of reaching out and talking and yeah. swapping shows with people. But, I guess if I was part of a network, just having that opportunity to grow and, you know, maybe get a couple listeners on another channel, just to see how that would work. Just, I think that to me, a network's value is in the collaboration side of the house. And that's what I'd look for.
Yeah. Yeah. I always find it interesting because I know the benefit of a network for giant shows,
yeah.
you know, like you have the podcast ones out there where they sell advertising for like Adam Carolla and those folks, right. like huge shows. So, you know, it's very clear to me like what everyone's role is, but in these smaller networks, I just don't really get what the benefits are. So whenever I hear anybody ever join a network or quit a network, I'm always interested to be like, okay, like what was the thing that got you? And yeah. what was the thing that made you quit? Because I honestly don't understand it. Because, like, for instance, if you wanted to guest on my show, Fan Dummies, like, come on. Like, mm-hmm. do you want a feed drop? Let's do it. Do you want me to come on your show? Let's do it. Like, I've never met any podcaster that says, no, you know, like, no thanks. You know, I don't want to grow. Like, I don't want right. to work on my show.
Mm-hmm. No, we all like to talk and
yeah.
you know, and do this as, you know, just to engage with other people. So it's always fun to jump in on different segments and change yeah, it up
for
a bit.
Sure. And there's enough listeners out there for everybody. Like I don't yeah. subscribe to this, the competition in podcasting mentality at all.
No. And people were asking me that before about, you know, why would you support other movie podcasts? And it's just like, there's plenty of podcasts out there and there's plenty of listeners. So
yeah,
everyone has their own kind of approach to things and it's fun to learn.
Yeah. I think the data shows that the average listener listens to, or I should say subscribes to 7 shows. That's the average person.
Yeah.
But I think when you're into movie podcasts, I think there has to be a delineation there because I consider myself an average listener and I think mm-hmm. I subscribe to like 60 shows.
Right.
And it's because I look through the new episode list and I go, you know, like, oh, you know, The Bad Batch, I want to hear about that. Or, you know, oh, mm-hmm. Conan the Barbarian, like, oh, I haven't seen that in so long. I wonder if there's something cool going on with that.
Oh, yeah.
And so there's absolutely people like that out there because I'm one of them. And even before I had a podcast, I was like that just because I'm probably I'm the worst listener because I'm like, you know, I'll take that one and then this one and then this one. Like I don't, like there's not a lot of shows where if they're talking about something that I'm not interested in, that I'll listen to it. Right. Mm-hmm. Like even if I like the hosts, right. If you're talking about like a Disney animated movie, I'm out. Like yeah. I'll see you on The Matrix 4. Right.
Sure.
So maybe we could talk a little bit about some things that you've learned along the way, because you're 60 plus episodes deep, which yeah. is serious podcasting.
Yeah. I didn't think we'd hit this, but yeah. Some of the things that we learned for sure is you need to find ways to keep it fun. And mm-hmm. I mean, that seems like very basic, but it's very easy to get kind of stale. And I saw some of my favorite podcasts, they ran into that rut and they just get burned out. So I have to take a break. Mm-hmm. That, you know, 2-week break becomes a month and then it becomes, well, we're going to try something different, but then they kind of lose the drive. So we're trying our best to keep it fun and entertaining because like I said before, we're a group of friends that mm-hmm. have been friends for 20 plus, well, geez, longer than that, 25 plus years now.
Getting up so, there,
man. You're right. so we know how to talk together and have a good time. And, you know, most of our episodes are, they run pretty long. You know, I'm trying to find ways of cutting that down so it's not as, you know, a lot to consume, because they're running about an hour and a half or so. But those recording nights, we're sitting there on the microphones talking for about 4 hours because we're catching up and talking about all sorts of other stuff just because we're friends and having fun. So we got to keep that magic alive, and that's important. Another thing I learned is you have to evolve. And, you know, when we started out this podcast, I thought this idea is brilliant and it's going to be perfect and we're just going to go with it. And then I very quickly learned after one episode, oh, I got to change this. And then after the next episode, it's like, oh, we could try this instead. So as long as you keep that mentality of constantly evolving, your show's going to continue to get better. And sometimes you'll make changes that don't work. And then you're like, okay, well, we tried that. We saw what worked, what didn't work. We'll dial it back, do something different. And it really brings value, because the more you do something, the better you'll be at it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I listen to some of our older episodes just because I'm trying to get some ideas of things that we've done. And you can tell how more mature we sound, even though it's a stretch for our show. But the confidence everyone has speaking on a microphone has increased exponentially across the board. I still have challenges sometimes to get people to speak more into the mic, but you know, we've gotten a lot better, and it makes for better audio. The quality's better. So, if I have to edit something out, it doesn't sound so choppy. But just having a mindset of evolving and to keep evolving, it's helped keep the show fresh, introduce new ideas. Things that we're doing now, like the Casting and Killing Sean Bean, came out of an idea that has really taken off. The plot summary Mad Libs is a huge hit. It's probably our best segment of the show that just kind of came out of an idea of a chance to evolve. And, you know, the more you try and experiment with things and be okay with failing, it helps just make a better show in the end. So just don't be afraid to experiment. And listen to your listeners and to see what works and where they're really kind of engaging with you.
The Mad Libs thing was so interesting to me. The Sean Bean thing too, for different reasons though. The Mad Libs thing for me was interesting because what you came up with in the couple shows that you did it in that I heard was better than like the IMDb description of the movie. like it sounded more interesting to me, even though it had some weird things, you know, like you say pickle when you're, you know, say, you know, give me a vegetable pickle. Like you can't use that anywhere where it sounds good, but what you end up with is better in a lot of cases than these movies that, that you're watching for the second time.
Right.
Because, you know, you pick some that you, I think just listening to the episodes, I truly believe you remembered them more fondly than they ended up being, like when you watched them.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it kind of depends on the film, but
yeah, for sure.
With this group of friends, I more times than not, when we get together, I'm laugh crying a lot because it's just, you know, just having the time of my life with these guys. So doing this podcast and at certain points doing the plot summary Mad Libs, for example, like I'm losing my shit. It takes me a while sometimes to get that out because I'm about to say something just so crude and crass about a friend of mine. And it's just, you know, it's fun. And it's, you know, it makes, you know, a movie like Super Mario Brothers better because we got a chance to laugh about the plot summary that was probably more off the wall in its true form than it was that we created in Mad Libs. But
yeah, it's hard to beat Mad Libs, but you know, Super Mario might do that.
That's a weird movie.
It is. One thing that keeps popping in my head, and I'm just trying to figure out the best place to ask the question. So it's here it comes. But like, what do you want out of this podcast? Because it seems to me like you're battling between this, I want to hang out with friends and, you know, cry, laugh for 4 hours, you know, on the floor. And, but you don't need to record that, you know, like there's a reason I think why you're recording it. What is it that you want out of this show?
For me personally, it was an opportunity for me to get more comfortable speaking and better on camera even. especially in these days where everything's remote and I haven't been in my office in a year and a half plus, same. You know, so
yeah,
constantly I'm on WebEx calls and things like that. But for me, I just want to be more comfortable speaking and articulating my thoughts and trying to, you know, get things out of my head better. Cause I'm a very creative person. And if I get a creative idea, if I don't do something about it, it'll just fester in there and I can't sleep, but it's just eating me away. Podcasting has given me an outlet to get that creativity out. And it's healthy for me to dive into this and experiment and try things. So for that, selfishly,
yeah,
being able to do this is good for my own mental health.
Mm-hmm.
But I think ultimately what I would really love for this show is to get to a consistency level where we can continue to have, you know, great conversations about some of the great movies of the past, not just the funny ones that are awful, so bad they're good.
Mm-hmm.
But to really just have good, insightful discussions about the show or the different films. And, you know, I've tried reaching out to people in Hollywood and I've had, you know, success getting a couple interviews, which is great. But I love the medium. I love the industry. And as a kid, I always wanted to be an actor. I always wanted to be a part of filmmaking, but it just, you know, that path wasn't mine. So this gives me a chance to experience that in a certain way. And I think that if we can lock down our format even better, maybe trim some things up a bit and get more consistent, I feel like our show definitely has some longevity to it, that it will continue to grow and continue to evolve. And I would like to maybe shorten our window a bit on how far back we're going to look and maybe start looking at some of the new films and still have fun with maybe on first watch, you know, just do some special stuff about newer films just to see if we have a good camaraderie to discuss these films in a unique way.
Yeah. If the show all of a sudden, let's say, started getting enough downloads to where you could comfortably make some money on it, would you, or would you keep it, you know, ad-free kind of, you know, low ad usage, I should say.
I think if we got to a point where we were legitimately making some money, the entrepreneurial side of me would say, yes, let's go for this and see how we can do even more. How can we grow? How can we actually make this a product that is not only worthwhile to more listeners, but to sponsors or something like that? I would want to experience that and see how far we can take it. I'm sure, you know, like I mentioned before, Chris maybe not want to turn this into a job, but if it got to the point where, like, it could make some serious, you know, money, where, you know, it's okay that, I'm not saying it's going to substitute, you know, our day jobs or anything like that, but if it was making enough that it's like, we really need to commit to this. I think, you know, the six of us, I think that we'd have enough interest to give it an honest to God shot. Because it is fun. We love to watch these movies and hunt them down. Like Super Mario Bros., we couldn't find it anywhere. So we really had to search high and low for that. I was on all sorts of forums trying to find a copy of it. But, you know, so it's fun, the hunt, the chance to watch these films again. So that's, I think that if we got to a point that it was making revenue, for one, I'd love to pay my co-host, because, you know, right now we're barely, you know, between donations or a little bit of ad revenue or affiliate marketing that I do.
Right.
It's just kind of covering just the monthly expenses. I would love to hook these guys up with, you know, better equipment, or give them a chance just to, hey, you know, here's just a thank you. And I appreciate it and having fun. Let's just keep doing this. I think if we got to that point, the team would definitely be all in for it.
Yeah. I think that would be an interesting conversation, because, you know, some of them being in and out, you know, 25% committed by their choice, right? Like, how would that even work? It would be that's a, what I call a high class problem. Right. You have too much money and you don't know like who gets what percentage.
Yeah.
But no, I think movie pods have this opportunity. There's not a lot of them though. There's not a lot of them out there that are earning money. Even for my own stuff, I research, you know, and say how big can a podcast like what you do or what I do, how big can they get? And I think they absolutely can get big enough to support hosts for sure. I don't know if it makes anybody rich, but I definitely think it could turn into jobs.
You got to find the right level. And
yeah.
Obviously consistency is a big one. Mm-hmm. And I think if you grow your show enough, there are advertisers and sponsors out there in the entertainment realm
for sure.
that are looking for this type of an audience, the moviegoer, the streamer, the ones of you know, pop culture, things like that. There's definitely a lot of sponsors out there looking for something. It's just, are you big enough? Would you generate enough, you know, clicks and click-throughs and things like that? It's just, you know, just kind of depends. And obviously right now we're fairly small, so a couple bucks here and there is great for me. But
I agree.
Yeah, it's
when a dollar is made by something that you create, it feels unbelievable.
It does. Yeah,
and it's just so funny.
And we've had a Ko-fi page, which is, you know, if those aren't familiar with it, it's like a buy me a coffee or a Patreon experience. And we've been a part of that since the beginning, and it's been fantastic just to have an option for someone who says, hey, you know what, your show's pretty cool, here's $3. I mean, $3 isn't, you know, a lot of money, but when somebody donates it to you because of something you created and they want to help you out, it means so much more than that $3 could ever mean. And it gives you that incentive. It's like, oh, let's just keep doing this. People are supporting us. This is fun. Let's keep going, guys. And it's been great. It's been great.
Yeah. I mean, that whole phenomenon, there was nothing. You had an idea. You got friends together. You created it. And some person in the world gave you $3. That's just nuts to me.
Yeah.
Like the whole idea of that is just crazy to me.
There are a lot of good people out there, despite what the media and social media can tell you. There's a lot of really genuine, good people out there that are always trying to help other creators. And I've tried to kind of match every donation we've received by donating to another show or a creator on Ko-fi, and just trying to, you know, the same feeling I get when someone donates me money is a feeling I get also when I reciprocate that to someone else. Mm-hmm. So if you kind of find ways of helping others along the way, it's a win-win for everybody. And creators just love to have people say, I see you, I see what you're doing. Right. I appreciate it. Keep at it. And you know, it goes further than any, you know, $3 donation might go.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's the act that gets you, like gets you the feels. It's not the $3. I mean, that's great and all, but you know, it's just the idea that somehow all these things conspired for this to happen. Mm-hmm. Just is so impressive.
Yeah, it's amazing.
So as we wrap up this interview, because you know, I've kept you longer than what you've agreed to.
That's all right.
What's one thing that you're working on where you could use some advice from the community? Not from me, but we're going to ask the people in the comments to give you some advice on a question that you might have.
Yeah, I think I'm always looking for more ways to engage with the community. Social media is great for some of that, but you know, I see my numbers. People listen to the show, and I could throw a question out there in a recording or on the show notes or something like that, and I don't hear anything. And I'd love to get more feedback from the people actually listening. So are there certain ways people are engaging with their audience or would like to engage with a podcast that they enjoy to try to, you know, provide some feedback or be a part of the experience? Because honestly, that's what I enjoy the most, is getting that feedback and that engagement with people that truly listen to the show.
Sure.
It's exciting to me, and download numbers are great. It's good to see that, you know, there's a trend. So obviously we're doing something because we still have listeners after, 63 episodes now.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd love to continue to engage with those that are listening. And right now there's a few of them that do talk to us regularly, which is fantastic, but I'd love to do that even more. So I know that Good Pods is a great platform for, you know, listening to podcasts and also engaging with others. But at the same time, it seems like it's another platform where I'm just talking to other podcasters that are all kind of doing the same thing, trying to get feedback and listens and things like that. I'd love to just find better ways of communicating with those that are already engaged with my show.
Yeah.
So if there's ideas or recommendations on how to do that, I'd be totally open for having those conversations.
Yeah, that's amazing. I hope somebody has some great idea, because I could use some ideas myself.
Yeah.
So Tim, tell everybody where they can find you and on Second Watch.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're all over Twitter mostly. We have Facebook and Instagram as well, but on Twitter we are OSW Podcast 1. And you can find our website at oswpodcast.com. We have all our episodes out there, a place for you to leave a voicemail, to leave your thoughts and things like that as well. That's really the best way to reach us. That's our go-to for all episodes and all sorts of fun stuff that we're doing, including some of the fundraising that we're doing for some charities here and there as well. So it's been a lot of fun doing that too. But yeah, just feel free to engage with us on Twitter. You know, that's kind of where I talk to the most people, and I'd love to help other indie podcasts if they have a question, or give them feedback, or, you know, do an honest review, not just a 5-star for 5-star review. But yeah, just connect with us on social media. Happy to talk and share the journey and the nostalgia for movies.
If it's 4 stars, you'll tell them via DM. If it's 5 stars, you'll tell them via Apple Podcasts.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. No, I get how that works. And I'll put all of your links in the description below so people can see that and they can click it. They don't have to remember any of that stuff. Right. Tim, it's been amazing talking to you. I've learned a lot. Like, I feel like I have a new insight on what it's like to have 6 co-hosts. I can't imagine it, honestly. Like, just Aaron and I trying to figure out what show to cover and when to record is challenging. It's just two of us, and we live together, right? Like, you know, I can't imagine doing it with 6, but
it's a challenge, but it's worth it because the dynamic makes it so much more enjoyable. So it's worth the stress of getting it all together.
But I love your framework of just knowing everybody's limits and including them where they're comfortable and not having hard feelings when they're not. I think that's super great.
Yeah. I mean, just whether it's a podcast or in your life, it's to me, it's a sign of a strong leader that knows their team, what they're comfortable with, and hit them where their sweet spot is and don't push them too far. So that's what we're trying to do here. And, you know, where it works, it's great. And if not, then we got to circle back and assess it. But that's part of the journey.
That's an amazing quote that we can stop on. So thanks again for being on the show. And I had a lot of fun. And I'll see you next time.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me. Really appreciate
Bye-bye.
It.
Bye. Thank you so much to Tim from On Second Watch for coming on the show and teaching us all sorts of amazing things, including how to manage multiple co-hosts without burning them out. I'll put all of Tim's and On Second Watch's information down in the show notes, along with everything else we talked about. So if you find something interesting, you can easily click the link and find it. If you are a podcast creator and you want to grow your show, check out indiedropin.com/creators to learn how to get featured on one of Indie Drop-In's podcasts. I also encourage you to join Podcast Creators Facebook group, where we talk about the craft of podcasting, creation, marketing, everything in that group all day long. And if you found this podcast useful, share it with one podcast creator who you think could use the information. I'm sure they would appreciate it, and so do I. Thanks again for listening to Podcast Creators by Indie Drop-In Network, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.